Let us now recap on what you've just listened to about green marketing and advertising. Short extracts from part one will be played again, and we will examine these for content and language usage. After many of these replays, I will ask you questions about what you've heard. There will be a pause for you to answer, and then I will correct your answer. Part 1 began with some background history of green awareness.
Green consumerism is certainly a trend for the 1990s, but not only that. The presence of the green movement is still on the increase, and because of the serious issue it addresses, that is, the survival of our planet, it is not only a trend, but can be seen as a permanent change to the world of business and especially advertising.
Why is the green movement still on the increase? Because it addresses a serious issue, the survival of our planet. Green movement. This word relates to the environment, to nature. The green movement is a movement for the protection of the environment. Trend. A trend is a tendency, a temporary change. We are told that green consumerism is more than just a trend. It's a permanent change.
Why is this? Who has brought about this change? The answer is, of course, that the general movement towards greener products has not been brought about by the suppliers of the products, but by those who demand them. The consumer-oriented approach to marketing and advertising means that consumers have the power in product innovations and changes, and the existence of green advertising is a response to the new type of consumerism, green consumerism.
A consumer-orientated approach is a business strategy aimed to suit the consumer. The opposite would be a manufacturer-orientated approach. A response is a reaction, an answer to something.
In 1972, the Massachusetts Institute of Technology published a book called The Limits of Growth. In this book, constant economic growth was given the blame for the destruction of our environment. The book predicted that if the present trends in world population, industrialization, pollution, food production, and resource depletion continued, the limits of growth on the planet would be reached within the next 100 years.
What present trends did the book consider especially destructive? It considered trends in world population, industrialization, pollution, food production, and resource depletion destructive. This was the start of green awareness. The ordinary person, the consumer, started to become aware of the damage modern industrial consumerist society was doing to the environment. People became aware not only of the local environment, but of the global Earth environment. Soon the manufacturers, marketers, and advertisers picked up the message from the consumer. To predict is to forecast, to judge what will happen in the future. Resource depletion is the using up of natural resources like oil, fish, and wood. To deplete is to exploit or use up without replacing. The first green political party in New Zealand attacked and opposed economic expansion. However,
this theory in blaming economic growth simply was, however, too extreme for the consumer to agree with. Now, a more reasonable idea for the consumer to deal with has come into existence. This is the idea of sustainable growth. That we can grow economically, but must do so in a way which does not leave a bill to be paid by the generations of the future.
It would have been unimaginable and impossible to change the whole world economic system. Economic growth at all costs was rejected. Sustainable growth was preferred. To sustain means to withstand or bear. Sustainable growth is economic growth which the environment can bear or withstand. It should not leave a bill to be paid by future generations means that people in the future should not have to pay for our environmental mistakes. Thrust means its strongest, most forceful policy.
Before, in the 1980s, companies used environmental protection experts as consultants. Now in the 90s, the environmental experts are not just consultants, but are actually pushed into the company at board level. Much of the change in environmental policies of companies in the 1980s were made because of pressure from politicians through new laws. Now the change is not pushed through by politicians, but is occurring because of demand pull.
Demand pull means the pressure exerted by consumer demand. For example, if the consumer wants environment-friendly products, it is only a matter of time before they are produced. If the other manufacturers want to stay competitive, they too must produce environment-friendly products. Thus, pull comes from the consumer.
Holland's government introduced a plan for environmental protection in 1988. Although it was predicted that this plan would cost an average of $250 to each Dutch family per year, it was accepted by the Dutch people. Germany and Denmark also have a very high level of environmental awareness, and countries such as Britain and France, although not so environmentally aware, are improving in this way.
What kind of plan did the Dutch government introduce in 1988? A plan for environmental protection. How much did it cost, and who had to pay? It cost approximately $250 for each Dutch family per year. The green consumer, the environmentally aware consumer, will choose green products. But what is a green product? The British Green Consumer Guide describes it as follows.
1. A green product is not dangerous to the health of people or animals. 2. It does not cause damage to the environment during production, use, or disposal. 3. It doesn't consume a disproportionate amount of energy during production, use, or disposal. 4. It does not cause unnecessary waste due to too much packaging or due to a very short usage life. 5. It should not involve the unnecessary use of or cruelty to animals. 6. It does not use materials derived from endangered species or environments. The Green Consumer Guide added to this the general rule that a green product should not improve price, quality, nutrition, or convenience at the expense of our environment.
According to these conditions, almost all manufactured products are environmentally unfriendly. Another problem with this definition is that many terms or phrases are relative. For example, a disproportionate amount. This means an excessive amount, too much, unnecessary waste, unnecessary use of animals. But who is to say what is disproportionate, necessary or unnecessary? Ideally, the consumer. But he or she is rarely in a position to do so. Also, terms such as dangerous and damage are relative. Instead of becoming really green, most producers try to convince the consumer that their product is at least partly green or greener than the competition.
British Nuclear Fuels are not a company you would expect to be using green advertising, However, they have done so. Although this company has received extremely bad publicity due to their record on pollution and industrial accidents, they used the greenhouse effect as a way of giving their product a green angle. They put double-page ads in newspapers and magazines which highlighted the effects of global warming and claimed that because the nuclear industry does not use petrol or other fossil fuels to create energy, it doesn't add to the greenhouse effect as much as other ways of producing energy.
Why has British nuclear fuels received bad publicity? Because of its poor record of pollution and industrial accidents. Companies can exploit the concentration of green awareness on certain areas. Thus, although nuclear power damages the environment in other ways, it doesn't contribute to the greenhouse effect very much. The greenhouse effect is one green issue that most people are very aware of. The greenhouse effect, or global warming, is the effect carbon gases have on the Earth's atmosphere, causing the Earth's climate to change. Bad publicity means negative attention from the media. Giving a product a green angle means promoting it from an environmental point of view. To highlight means to emphasize, to bring attention.
Produce. A producer of disposable nappies have also aimed their product at the green consumer. The whole idea of a disposable nappy is, in reality, environmentally unfriendly. This did not discourage Produce, however, and they produced a print ad which said their nappies were made of a padding which is kinder to nature because it isn't chlorine bleached.
To aim your product means to target your product. Disposable means something you throw away after one usage. To discourage means to persuade somebody not to do something. To bleach means to remove the color from something.
A product like washing powder, for example, is basically unfriendly to the environment. In order to clean well, the powder must be made of strong chemical substances, which are not broken down easily by nature. There is, in fact, little a washing powder company can do to its product to make it more environmentally friendly, without decreasing its quality. How can they then carry out green advertising? The answer is, they don't change the product, they change the packaging. Almost all washing powders are advertised nowadays as coming in the environmentally friendly, refillable packaging. As we see from these examples, green advertising is the new craze in the 1990s. Firms in every sector are addressing environmental issues in their ads, and any firm which neglects this aspect of consumer values in their advertising will soon see the bad results.
Why is washing powder, by its nature, unfriendly to the environment? Because it contains chemical substances that do not break down easily. So it's not just the product which is affected by green awareness. Thus, every type of producer can claim some kind of environmental advantage for his product. This has led to great confusion among green consumers, who are fed up with so much propaganda and conflicting information that many have become environmentally colorblind, unable to assess what is green and what is not. Advertisers compete with one another for control of the green consumer's awareness. In this way, there are many dangers for green awareness generally, but also for the manufacturers. If their greenness is not sincere, the consumer will often smell this. The green advertisers should take note of the following.
Firstly, the green consumer is not stupid. In many cases, products which have not been changed or are obviously not environmentally sound have received new greener advertising. The green advertising of non-green products can often anger the consumer and can lead to a drop in sales instead of an increase. Organizations such as Greenpeace and Friends of the Earth organize campaigns against companies who try to cheat the consumer in this way.
Environmentally sound means environmentally safe. In this way, sound often means safe, reliable, or generally good.
Another possible risk in carrying out green advertising is that if you emphasize the greener aspects of one of your products, you risk shining a bad light on other products in the product line. For this reason, before starting with a green advertising campaign, a company should give the entire firm a green audit. That is, they should look at every part of their organization which does damage to the environment.
To audit means to check over, to review. A green audit is a check over or review for aspects dangerous to the environment.
Advertising standards authorities throughout the world are increasingly looking out for companies which make false claims about the environmental effects of their products. Standards are developing for the green advertising industry. For example, in the U.S., a task force set up by the Advertising Standards Authority has laid down guidelines for green advertising. They decided, firstly, claims should be as specific as possible. They should not be general, incomplete, or vague. Secondly, claims should make people aware of how the product can be disposed of ecologically in their area. Thirdly, claims about environmental friendliness should have hard facts behind them. They should be supported by scientific evidence.
This is an example of government intervention to control and regulate green advertising. This gives official backup to the work already done by private green groups such as Greenpeace. To lay down guidelines means to set loose regulations guiding the conduct of companies. Governments can generally only lay down guidelines. It is very difficult to make strict laws relating to advertising. Nowadays, green advertising alone is not enough. Just as advertising is a section of marketing, green advertising must belong to green marketing, where not only the advertisement of the product, but also its manufacture, packaging, and distribution must be subject to green standards. In packaging, most manufacturers use simple biodegradable materials. Companies are being forced, either by government regulation or consumer demand pull, to use energy economical means of production and distribution. We may not be living in a green utopia, but considering that the green movement is just 20 years old, huge progress has been made. Look at the statistics.
The power of the green consumer is increasing and cannot be ignored by advertisers or marketers. Here are some statistics to convince you of this fact. A survey carried out in the U.S. in 1990 said that 30% of people asked had avoided a company or its products in the past 6 months because of their policies towards the environment. A study carried out by an advertising agency, also in the U.S., concluded that in the U.S., 20 million consumers could be classed as environmental activists. Another 20 million were classed as conscious green consumers. A survey carried out in Australia concluded that 83% of Australian adults felt industry was not doing enough to protect the environment. 76% of the Australians asked said they would refuse to buy a product if they thought the company was environmentally irresponsible.